Quarterback back at the five, steps up, gets drilled. Yes, sir, he gets mashed. And that is going to be the ball game. 6-5-4-3. They can't snap it. They can't stop it. They can't win it. Alabama wins the ball game.
Gary Thomas, linebacker, Alabama.
He was a nightmare for people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Woo! Son, I got to do better than this.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season. And they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there, good morning, welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here with you, Mason Woods across the glass alongside Joe Gaither and Timothy Bowen's going to have a good day today on a Wednesday and talk some Alabama Crimson Tide football, specifically the running backs and Alabama's SEC opener, which I bet you didn't know. Was against the Vanderbilt Commodores. I don't know how the hell I got 800 some odd words about Vanderbilt, because it didn't feel like there was 800 words on the internet about Vanderbilt. There was really like two articles that I was able to like pull information from to kind of build this thing on. So both of these, the running backs and the Vanderbilt preview, they're both on Tide109.com if you want to check them out. There for you, as well as on the app. You should download the app, especially ahead of football season, so you're not frantically trying to do it right before a game starts so that you can hear Eli Gold and everything. Download it now and be prepared, right? We're going to start with the running backs, though. We're going to start with the running backs. Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt, right? There's some things to dive into when it comes to them. It's not an opponent that we have to see very often anymore, but We'll get to them in just a bit. The running backs, that's an interesting story. So we'll get to that here in just a second. First, Alabama Vintage. Go check them out. 2210 University Boulevard under the Crimson Awning across from City Hall in the heart of downtown T-Town. You'll want to check them out because they have incredible vintage apparel, not just for Alabama Crimson Tide fans, but also for the those that just like vintage apparel in general, right? This is stuff that you're going to like. jerseys, hats, shoes, commemorative t-shirts, memorabilia. It's all there. It's online as well, alabamavtg.com, as well as on the Instagram account at alabamavtg. Also, you got one day. This is your last day, actually. Your last day to enter to win the Academy Sports and Outdoors $500 gift card and four tickets to the 2022 SEC Baseball Tournament taking place later this month in Hoover, Alabama. So head on over to Tide109.com and click on my name on that right-hand column, meet the staff. You click on my name there, you'll find the article. You can also go to academy.com/sweeps and enter your information. That's all you got to do. Fill out just a little bit of information. You'll be entered to win a $500 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors and four tickets to the 2022 SEC Baseball Tournament, courtesy of Academy, later this month in Hoover, Alabama, where hopefully the Alabama Crimson Tide can make a little bit of noise. So where I start with these running backs this season is a photo, right? We all know that photo, the one that's got all T-Tenpenny and D. Hart and Kenyon Drake, and T.J. Yeldon, and Derrick Henry. And supposedly Alvin Kamara, he says he's not in the photo. The 2013 Crimson Tide running back room, before Kamara left, before D. Hart left, before Alti Tenpenny left, before it was really just kind of the pecking order that it became, which was T.J. Yeldon and then Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake. Nonetheless, think back to that and how ridiculous it is that Alabama can get that kind of talent. You know, we consistently are talking about the wide receivers, right? Every time we talk about Jordan Addison, it's, oh, well, if you have to get Jordan Addison, what does that say about your recruiting? Well, it could say something about your recruiting of wide receivers. I don't think it says something about your recruiting as a whole. I don't think Nick Saban has fallen off a cliff anywhere. I think college football is evolving, and he's trying to keep pace with it. And it's understandable that some things are going to get a little bit out of your grasp. He still recruits his defense very well, still recruits his quarterbacks very well, and he still recruits running backs very well. Now, yes, the number one guy on this team is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs. And instead of wearing the number one that he wore at Georgia Tech, he's going to wear number 13 here. And I think we talked about him a while back, so I'm not going to say anything outlandish about Jahmyr that I haven't said before, but you don't have to watch very much of his film to understand what kind of player he is and how talented he is. Now, a couple of days ago, we talked about Jermaine Burton and the fact that he had only played like 39% of Georgia's offensive snaps. Now, Georgia Tech, not quite as successful as a program, don't exactly have those immediate numbers for you, but I do know that Jahmyr Gibbs only touched the ball from scrimmage 178 times last year and scored only 6 touchdowns. And that's just not enough for a player the style of Jahmyr Gibbs. Brian Robinson, by comparison, and yes, there were running backs at the position last year, but keep in mind, two guys that we'll talk about here in just a little while, Roydell Williams and Jace McClellan, neither of those guys really ate into Brian Robinson's touches the way that we thought they would, right? We thought this would be some four-headed monster last season. It was the Brian Robinson show before the injuries, right? Brian Robinson had touched the ball from scrimmage 306 times. And yeah, he played in three more games, I think, but three more games is not going to create that kind of drastic change. Even a game in like Cincinnati where Brian Robinson touched the ball a lot. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get the ball. He's got to get the ball, and he's going to get the ball. Now, those are his scrimmage numbers. Everybody's going to say, well, Jacob, you're kind of micro-analyzing here because his value is very much recognized as a returner. Yeah, absolutely. First of all, he's either going to do punt returns or kick returns. He's not going to do both. And one of those, kick returns, is practically useless in college football now, especially when you play at a level where most of the kickers are kicking the ball out of the end zone. I'm not overly concerned about who's returning kicks, who's returning punts, right? We get a little bit lost in arms about it because of what happened to Jaylen Waddle a couple years ago. It's not that big of a deal. It's important. It's not that big of a deal. And I'm not counting that towards the overall production of a player because a lot of it comes down to chance because you're asking backups to block for a star player. His value is not always going to shine through exactly the right way. 178 scrimmage touches, though, is ridiculous. And I'll say the same thing for Georgia Tech's coach, as I said about Scott Satterfield, wanting to talk about tampering when it came to Tyler Harrell. Use your players. Use your players. Watch some Georgia Tech film last year and tell me anybody that deserved deserved to touch the ball more than Jahmyr Gibbs for that team last year. Injuries or not, whatever the circumstances may be, I'm not really overly concerned. You don't want to lose your players in today's game. Give them the football. If you're a bad football team, or you're a football team that's trying to not be a bad football team anymore, give the ball to your best players. You won't lose them. It is that simple. So it makes sense for Jahmyr Gibbs to come out and go through the transfer portal, come to Alabama, and potentially be a first-round pick next year. Not many running backs in the modern age of college football are getting preseason hype to be first-round draft picks. And the fact that Bijan Robinson, who's been locked as a first-round pick his entire career for very good reason, he is a very talented running back, the fact that he is like that and Jahmyr Gibbs is like that, and that's practically it. And last month, we did not have a running back go in the first round of the NFL draft. And we're talking about two guys, and one of them's at Alabama. You know that kid is special, and he's in a special situation. Despite playing behind an offensive line, that's not as good as it can be. That's not as good as it needs to be. The fact of the matter is, the NFL really likes Alvin Kamara, really likes what he brings to the table, and that is what Jahmyr Gibbs plays like. I think he's slightly faster than Alvin Kamara, and that is a terrifying thing to say out loud because Alvin Kamara is not a slow football player. He is not a Le'Veon Bell, where he is overly dynamic but not explosive to the point he's not long-term explosive. He's not going to break off 60, 75-yard touchdowns. Alvin Kamara doesn't do that very, very often. He just breaks a lot of tackles, and sometimes it just works out. For Jahmyr Gibbs, it's the old Gale Sayers. I just need 8 inches or whatever of space, and I am gone. And that's what he did in the spring game. Will linebacker over-pursued, cross the center's face. Never do that, by the way. And Gibbs saw the hole, cut back, gone. Nobody touched him. 75-yard touchdown. It is that simple for Jahmyr Gibbs to completely alter the course of a football game. That's all it takes. So, yeah, he'll get over 200 touches. It's a matter of how much, based off of the fact that these other two guys are returning from injury. But I still go back. The fact that anybody would willingly come out and say Heisman contender for a running back these days, I would immediately want to call you a psychopath. But Jahmyr Gibbs, y'all. Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't know. Like, first of all, it's terrifying that Alabama has three guys that you can entertain putting in that conversation. Preseason Heisman watch list is long. Don't get me wrong. There's too many names on it. But Bryce Young, probably going to have a tad bit harder time winning the Heisman this year, I think. Will Anderson, going to have a tad bit easier time trying to win the Heisman this year, I think. Jahmyr Gibbs, somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. If he's taking over these games and he's doing Reggie Bush-like things where he is busting off ridiculously long touchdowns and breaking tackles along the way, he's going to be viewed as something incredibly, incredibly special. And if the passing game is suffering, and we've heard the one thing this offensive line can do is run block, even against the ones, there's something very, very special in that backfield. And I think that's where you kind of get into the territory of, if Brian Robinson wasn't overly dynamic but still commanded the lion's share of the carries to the degree with which he did, and Jahmyr Gibbs is a significantly more dynamic player and has the ability to be downright dangerous as a receiving back out of the backfield, why do you sub anybody out? Why do you remove him from the field, right? We were talking the other day about when we were talking about Jermaine Burton, how he could realistically have 106 receptions or more, doubling his career production at Georgia because there wasn't a lot of proven talent away from him. Well, one of the guys that would eat into those targets a healthy bit is Jahmyr Gibbs. Bryce Young likes to throw the ball to his running backs. Jace McClellan got hurt. He was the best one at it, and he wasn't utilized enough in it, which I mentioned before he got hurt on Tide109.com. But nonetheless, that's something truly fun to look forward to. Jahmyr Gibbs. We'll talk about Roydell and Jace McClellan next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
You're invited to join Awakening, a community-wide service that happens once a month, the third Thursday of every month, and it is focused on intimate worship and powerful preaching of God's Word with no direct church affiliation. If you're searching, seeking, or desiring to know God more, you need to join Awakening on the third Thursday of the month. Awakening, releasing the power within. We're launching on May 19th at 6:30. I'm Martin Houston. And the team and I look forward to seeing you there.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sizzling hot afternoon with a sunny sky, the high today 93. The sky clear tonight, the low at 70. Tomorrow and Friday, the hottest weather so far this year. A good supply of sunshine both days, highs between 93 and 96. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison, Digital Managing Editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa here. Mason Woods, Joe Gaither, Timothy Bowens behind the glass there. Talking Alabama Crimson running Tide, Alabama Crimson Tide running backs for the 2022 college football season. And just talked about Jahmyr Gibbs. Now I want to get into Jace McClellan and Roydell Williams. Now, here's the thing. Jace McClellan tears his ACL early in the season. Roydell Williams tears his ACL late in the season. Neither one participates in the A-Day spring game, which gave us a look at other guys, but, you know, as impressive as guys were at the A-Day game, They're not Jace McClellan. They're not Roydell Williams. Experience will win out. These guys have been productive when given the opportunity. So if you go into that article and you're like, oh, Jacob, you only talked about four guys. Yeah, I only talked about the four guys that potentially are going to touch the football this year, I think. Now, if push comes to shove and it's time to talk about one of those other guys, we'll talk about him. I know everybody's kind of got their favorite back out of this running back core, and I'll be the first to tell you, your favorite doesn't matter because Trey Sanders is the guy that I care about. He's the one whose story I resonate with the most and wish that dude would get his opportunity the way he has deserved it, the way that Nick Saban has talked about him and everything else, and it's not going to happen. Jahmyr Gibbs is here. Jahmyr Gibbs is getting the bulk of the carries. He's the most dynamic football player. Jace McClellan took the most carries away from Brian Robinson before he got hurt. Roydell Williams didn't take very many carries away from Brian Robinson after McClellan went down. However, he was the guy that did it, not Trey Sanders. All of this kind of leans in, right? It's the same thing. You can't completely blame Kirby Smart for losing Justin Fields because the experience wins out. That said, I mentioned how Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get the lion's share of the carries, of the touches in this offense when it comes to the running backs. What's concerning, if you're a Jace McClellan type, is that they have similar skill sets. Now, I think Jace McClellan has more of a feel of a traditional all-around balanced back, with the caveat being that he's special enough to be a featured back in any given situation. If Jace McClellan were the undisputed number one back on this team, I'd feel very confident about the running game. I really would. He is extremely talented, has good averages, can bust off a touchdown, a home run touchdown at any given moment from anywhere on the field, great out of the backfield as a receiving back. There's not much more you can ask for out of him. Extremely fast, extremely gifted, strong runner between the tackles. He's just not quite as dynamic as Jahmyr Gibbs, and that's where it comes in. Well, for what reason are you taking Jahmyr Gibbs out of the game to put Jace McClellan in outside of an every couple of play breather, outside of just to change it up, just to give that guy some reps, right? Sometimes that's as simple as it gets. Other times, everybody, since it was Chris Johnson and Lindell White, has wanted the lightning and thunder combination. Thunder and lightning combination is the way you're supposed to say that. But it doesn't always last long, right? Lindell White survived maybe two seasons of that. And secondly, it's not quite as dynamic of a pairing as you may be led to believe. To my money and to my experience and to my opinion, I don't think anything trumps yet the luxury of having one guy that can do it all. The luxury of having a three down back, a guy that can catch, a guy that can run, a guy that can block, a guy that can do everything. Give me Najee Harris before you give me Josh Jacobs and Damian Harris and Najee Harris, right? Give me Saquon Barkley before you give me a trio-headed stable like what's going on in Jacksonville, right? I understand that guy gets hurt, you're in for it. But I think, this is my opinion, just basing it off of what I've seen, I think Nick Saban's the same way. He wants a load of talent on the offense, don't get me wrong, wants a load of talent at the running back position. But every single year, it is one guy and then the rest. And sometimes the rest is just one other guy. But it is one guy and then just the rest. It is Mark Ingram, then Trent Richardson. It is Derrick Henry, than everybody else. It is Najee Harris and nobody else. It is Brian Robinson and Jace McClellan and Roydell Williams. It is one guy. This year, it's Jahmyr Gibbs. But behind him are two guys that do things two different ways that will get carries because they've earned them. And when it comes to Roydell Williams, I think he's at a slight advantage here where he may be typically expected to get more goal line carries. If Alabama's going to run the ball inside the 10, it's probably going to be to Roydell Williams. Not all the time, but logically speaking, you're going to give it to the bowling ball kind of guy. Now, hilariously, on RollTide.com, Roydell Williams, Jace McClellan listed as the same weight. Roydell Williams is a tank. Jace McClellan is a speed guy. So looks will be deceiving. Some people won't inherently know that if they don't watch film, won't inherently know that if they only look at stats. But Roydell Williams, I think, has some advantage there to being a guy that has a different skill set from Jahmyr Gibbs. It's not the be-all, end-all. It's not what's going to get him on the field, but I think it played a role in him not seeing the field quite as much after after Jace went down. It's because Roydell was a very similar back to Brian Robinson. So we'll see how things change and evolve with all of that. But as it stands right now, those are the three main guys. Now, rather than try to give an entire segment to Trey Sanders, I'll talk about him real quick. I said it earlier. He's my guy. He's the guy that I wish I could come into the season and bet the house on and say, look out for Trey Sanders. That Heisman season that he promised is coming. He is the real deal. And before Jahmyr Gibbs announced that he was transferring to Alabama, that was the way I wanted to lean, selfishly, and use kind of the argument of the ACL injuries. Hey, maybe Trey Sanders is able to take some reps and create a name for himself and take the job. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And he took reps. He wasn't the most impressive running back at A-Day. Even after Jahmyr Gibbs, he wasn't. So if that's the case, I think Trey is firmly locked in as the number four guy. It hurts. It hurts. After staying healthy for a full season, getting all of the emotional responses from Nick Saban, everything that you could ask for, and the fact that there are two guys on this roster who I can make a firm comparison to elite NFL players, or at least at one point elite NFL players, because Jahmyr Gibbs, Alvin Kamara, Trey Sanders is Le'Veon Bell. Faster Le'Veon Bell. He runs with that kind of patience, that kind of arrogance, has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, evade tacklers in a multitude of different ways, and that is just not present all the time. To be able to mix speed and power, to be able to be a bigger back, but still be a receiving threat that is dangerous in the open field and can break off long touchdowns. It just is not something that you find very often, and that's what Trey Sanders is capable of. Unfortunately, he continues to have these lower body injuries, and you don't play around with a dude that was in a car accident that hurt his hip and plays running back. It's a lot easier for Tua to come back from his hip injury. Not saying it was easy by any stretch of the matter, but playing quarterback with a hip injury, hell of a lot easier than playing running back with one. And I'll point this out too. Phillip Rivers once played an entire AFC championship with a torn ACL because he wasn't a mobile quarterback. It didn't matter. He was able to do it. It was on his left knee, so he didn't have to put all the pressure into it, right? You're not going to see a running back play the game without an ACL unless they're born without him, right? That's it. So it sucks, but it is kind of what it is, and only time will tell based off of everything that we've learned. When Jahmyr Gibbs is not here next year, the way that the transfer portal might impact this running back room. Because I'll tell you what, I am somewhat surprised that all three of these guys are sitting behind Jahmyr Gibbs, because I don't think any one of them deserves to be the fourth back. I don't think any one of them deserves to be the third back. I think all of them are very deserving of being one and two. And there's only one football, and there's only one back that can be on the field at the time. Most of the time, you can't have two. It's not a thing that anybody's willing to do for whatever reason, despite everybody wanting more than one running back. But I digress. Patience is going to be the key for one of these guys, though, because although the ACL injuries are nothing to play around with, nothing to joke about, nothing to take light, nor are the injuries that Trey Sanders has experienced. But the fact that all three of those guys come in now as effectively third-year players, they all have the extra COVID season as a benefit. They're all going to be playing college football a lot longer than all of them just, you know, intended to. But they're all going to go into the NFL with very little tread on their tires. But a lot of potential. That's the same way Brian Robinson went in. All three of these guys are significantly more talented than Brian Robinson. Robinson needed just that 1 year to prove to the NFL he can be the guy, and he can be a guy to be relied upon, and he is more gifted than given credit for. All three of these guys are better than him. Wholeheartedly mean that, at least, especially when it comes to the NFL game. They have not had their opportunity to prove it yet. When they get it, it's going to be something special, just like it's going to be when Jahmyr Gibbs takes over the entirety of college football this season. All right, we'll take a break now, and we'll come back and break down the Vanderbilt Commodores as we continue to look at each SEC team each and every week leading up until the 2022 college football season. That's next here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. I'm going to do my best to talk about Vanderbilt here for the next little while. I believe in myself. I can do this. Previewing each team in the SEC will not be an easy task. It'll be a little bit more frustrating to have to do it for the teams that Alabama's not going to play. You know, we anticipate to play Georgia, but we know we have to play Vanderbilt this season. It's a part of that baby butt soft special season that we've got coming up. And Vanderbilt is the SEC opener for Alabama. So it's not bad enough that a team that has won 20 straight season openers, many of which have come against other number one teams or top 10 teams or top 25 teams or well-respected programs like Virginia Tech. No, we open against Utah State. And then as a season opener, we play Vanderbilt. I was told that the regular season in college football was better than anything else on the market. Somebody lied to me. Somebody lied to me. Couple of trivia points. Vanderbilt has only finished as a ranked team once, 1948. Since then, the Commodores have posted just four winning seasons, 1974, 75, 82, and 2008. You're going to love this one. The program hasn't won a conference championship in 98 years. 1923 was the last time that they won a conference championship. The last time Vanderbilt played Alabama, some kid that played for the Commodores said, "Alabama, you're next." Like he was Bill Goldberg or something. Alabama would win that game 59-0. Vanderbilt went on to win two more games the rest of the season. Alabama won a national championship. Vanderbilt has not scored on Alabama since 2007. Vanderbilt has not scored on Alabama since 2007. They have played three games since 2007, and that first one is the only one they scored in. Their head coach, Clark Lee, played in that game. I'm not making any of this up. Vanderbilt hasn't beaten Alabama since 1984. Again, I say the regular season is supposed to matter. I'll move off of that. These teams will meet September 24th, 10 miles up the road, as the crow flies. Screwed that up. Inside Bryant-Denny Stadium to open the SEC schedule for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Oh, one more. Vanderbilt hasn't won an SEC game since 2019. And they're not going to win another one unless they can beat Missouri this year because the SEC East is stacked. And Alabama and Arkansas are their West draws this year. Good luck. All that to be said, Clark Lee's doing a pretty good job. A pretty good job. I think he's managing his staff well. And I think it would be foolish to just outright ignore the fact that he is making improvements. First of all, highest rated recruit this season was a four-star. Clark Lee brought in one four-star. And the whole recruiting class. When I say we're not on the same playing field, we're not on the same playing field. One four-star for an SEC program. Anyway, highest rated offensive player was a quarterback who is going to come in and compete for the job. Considering the two quarterbacks that played last year practically split the season right down the middle, neither one was able to score at least 10 times. If I give you six games as a quarterback, you should be able to score 10 times. Like, it shouldn't even be a challenge. It should just happen. If it doesn't happen, you ain't cut out for the SEC. Sorry, later, bye. So this this AJ Swan kid, who was a former commit for Maryland, if that should tell you anything, Maryland brings in some fairly competent quarterbacks. Was a three-star kid, I believe, out of Georgia. He's going to come in compete with Mike Wright and Ken Seals to be the starting quarterback for the Vanderbilt Commodores. We'll see how things go with that defensively. This is such a weird thing to say. It's a defense that visibly has improved, but statistically has not. Does that make sense? No. They gave up more total yards than they did in 2020, obvious reasons, played more games. were, I think, slightly better at stopping the pass than they were at stopping the run in 2020. It's really hard to compare those years, right? First of all, you're talking about a winless season in a season that was announced just a few weeks before the season started, that was completely turned on its head and was completely SEC schedule. I mean, their season was rocked so hard by COVID as well that they had the first ever female kicker kick a field goal, right? And Lord, the drama that ensued. But that's where that's where Vanderbilt came from. It's not where they're going. Where they're going, I think, is somewhere pretty special in terms of Vanderbilt, which just means getting back into the James Franklin era. And need I remind you that in the James Franklin era, they had one winning season in 2008. He was there in 2008, right? I'm not crazy. I did a lot of research on them. There's a lot of things that have fallen through the cracks. Still, statistically, it's hard. It's hard. If there's one thing that I need out of a defense, it is to get to the quarterback. There was no team worse at getting to the quarterback than Vanderbilt last year. There was one team that was as bad, but no team as worse. Right now, I want you to think, how many sacks could possibly be the number to be dead last in the country? And that's your guess for Vanderbilt. What if I told you the answer to that question is 9? 9 sacks. There are 12 games in a season. There are 12 games in a season, and Vanderbilt played 2 FCS programs and Connecticut. They had 9 sacks.
How many sacks is Will Anderson and Dallas Turner putting up against Connecticut?
Oh, my God. Well, probably only 3 apiece because they're only playing in the first quarter.
All right, how many is the team putting up? Double digits at least.
Yeah, probably like 11. And Quindarius Robinson would probably get 2 of them. And the only reason that's funny is because that means he's getting that many snaps because the game has been over for that long. I mean, that's bad. The one, like, first of all, reading Clark Lee's bio on the Vanderbilt website is so desperately trying to show how much he has improved at the program. It's overkill. He's making improvements, but, like, the wording and everything, and pointing out stats like this. The Commodores were the only team in the SEC to feature 4 players with multiple interceptions during the regular season. While as a team, Vandy had 8 consecutive games with an interception, matching the longest streak in the SEC since 1996. You know, it's something. It's to point at the fact that the team did do better at getting interceptions. And what I'm trying to get across while being as mean as humanly possible to the Vanderbilt Commodores, hey, they're an SEC rival in some respects. The fact of the matter is visibly the team is more tenacious. Visibly the team cares more. Visibly the team understands a defense for once. The defense is coached by a guy who was once the defensive coordinator for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Clark Lee's not a scrub just because he was a fullback at Vanderbilt, right? He worked his way up and took a job at Notre Dame that is a very respected position. One that I believe the head coach of Notre Dame now was the former defensive coordinator, right? So, yeah, so it's not like it's nothing, okay? He wanted to come back to Vanderbilt and rebuild it. And that's a hell of a task. And I was wrong. James Franklin was not there in 2008. He was from 2011 to 2013. Either way, there's a marked improvement there that is really only visible while you're watching them. And that was something that was hard to see even last year, though. Remember, again, we're talking about a team that lost to an FCS program in week two. And I don't mean just lost to, I mean got blown out by an FCS program. And fought to the death against Connecticut, right? And Connecticut was the worst FBS program in college football history last year. They were horrendous because they just brought their program back and they didn't do as good of a job of bringing it back as UAB did. There are a lot of problems on this team. And that was just the defense. I mentioned the offense a little bit by talking about the quarterbacks. So we know that their former left tackle is now likely going to be the Alabama Crimson Tide's left tackle, Tyler Steen, right? They lost their best player to a team that they're going to have to play this season that was already better than them. That one hurts if you like Vanderbilt. But they have to not just replace Steen, they have to replace three of their five offensive linemen from left tackle to center. So you have to replace the two most important positions on your offensive line and left guard, and your right guard only played in five games last season. Your left tackle is most likely going to be a sophomore or a freshman. Good luck, sir, with Dallas Turner this year. Good luck. The right tackle is already going to struggle with Will Anderson. The left tackle has to take on Dallas Turner, and we're going to break down Dallas Turner on this show on Friday, and I'm going to give you about 800,000 reasons why number 15 is going to destroy the entire country, let alone whoever's got to play left tackle for Vanderbilt on September 24th. Good luck, sir. Will Shepard's likely going to be their number one wide receiver. If you don't know that name, I don't blame you, but he did have 43 catches for 577 yards last year and four touchdowns. The first two stats were second on the team. The last one led the team. Four touchdowns receiving led the team. Four touchdowns receiving led the team. This is not an SEC program, is one of the things that I'm trying to get across here. It is silly that this is a team that has an SEC patch on its jersey and on its field. You don't have to like that I'm saying that. It is what it is. Regardless, you look at the running game, they've got an option. Either they go to a Temple player who had nearly 1,000 yards rushing as a freshman, had a dip in production the second year, and then last year, after transferring to Vanderbilt, had a toe injury that kept him out almost the entire season, or they go with Rocco Griffin, who led the team with 145 carries for 517 yards, and you guessed it, four touchdowns. They don't have very many directions to go in. And when I get the pleasure of repeating all of this to you the week of September 24th, 2022, just keep in mind, they will have at that point played Hawaii, and I believe Elon is the FCS program in week two for them. They will have played those two programs before they played Alabama. They play Hawaii in Hawaii. I don't anticipate they're going to win that game. Elon is not a bad FCS team, so there is an opportunity for them to possibly have to struggle with that one as well as they figure out their quarterback situation. So as it stands, good luck, Vandy. From an outside perspective, from way back with our binoculars on your program, we can see that Clark Lee is trying his damnedest and is making pretty valid improvements. But good luck, man. Good luck. One final reminder from me to you, academy.com/sweeps for a chance to win a $500 gift card and four tickets to the 2022 SEC Baseball Tournament, courtesy of Academy, later this month in Hoover. academy.com/sweeps. I'll see y'all tomorrow. We'll talk with Joey Blackwell for the first time in a while off of his vacation. I think he's off of vacation. Last I checked, he was in a bit of a layover. So hopefully we'll get to talk with Joey. If not, we'll continue the conversation tomorrow. The Jay Barker Show is up next, followed by The Game with substitute Joe Gaither. We'll see you tomorrow. Y'all take it easy and roll tide.
Dell Tech.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A sizzling hot afternoon with a sunny sky, the high today 93. The sky clear tonight, the low at 70. Tomorrow and Friday, the hottest weather so far this year. A good supply of sunshine both days, highs between 93 and 96. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for listening to